Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary and Praise Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
Tell you what a great introduction. What a great introduction. God bless you, Elder Oliver. We thank God for you and for your wife, for your family. We pray that God will continue to do a work in your family's lives, and we are honored to have you guys serving with us. Amen. Welcome tonight. Amen. This is another great Tuesday night Bible study brought to you by Praise Tabernacle Church. And we just greet you in the name of Jesus. We're so honored that you've allowed us to come into your homes, on your radios, on your television, on your telephones, however it is that you are listening to our Bible study on tonight. And we pray that all is well with you and your family. We have such a great, another great study on tonight. We're going to be led by Elder Richard Taylor. On tonight, he's the president of our Elders Council, a great family man. Y'all know him. Y'all know him. Y'all heard him speak over the last few months, and we're just excited to have him back on leading our study on tonight. We also have our chief, Elder Victor Bluett. He's on here tonight. Elder Oliver is on. I think my precious wife may be on a little later. She's going to visit. Pray with one of the mothers of the church tonight. So we're just thankful. We're thankful with that. We're not going to delay and hold up the time. We're going to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be that of Elder Richard Lee Taylor, our Elders Council President. Fathers, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made, and we we'll rejoice, we'll continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We pray now that you would send your anointing that makes teaching easy on tonight, that you will give Elder Taylor the words that needs to be spread to every listener on tonight. And we know that your word will not return to your void. And we just thank you. We thank you for the panel. We thank you for Praise Tabernacle Church. We thank you for Chaos Blog Talk Radio, even our new listeners over in London, England. And God, we just thank you that you are fulfilling your word through such a small church here in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Small church, but a huge ministry. Yeah. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Taylor, the service is in your hands.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in tonight, all over, wherever you're listening from. I just want to say thank you for tuning in with us tonight in our Tuesday night Bible study. And I just want to thank our panel for being on, Rabbi Bluette. You know, we always tease him and call him Rabbi, but he made us out of love. He's a great teacher, and our pastor, Bishop Omar, Zachary, and Elder Oliver, and everyone else that may be tuning in tonight. I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in with us for another week. And we just thank God for another week and give him glory. And we're going to get right into it tonight. I want to talk about, and Pastor, you and Elder Bluette, Elder Oliver, y'all just chime in whenever you get an idea or, you know, something you want to share as we go through the Bible study tonight. So just chime in. Stop me if you need to, and, you know, if you want to add something to the Bible study. We're going to be coming out of Isaiah tonight. So if you have your Bibles, wherever you are, wherever you're going, if you have your Bible, get your Bible out or your iPad or your phone or whatever you use to read the Word. And we want to go with Isaiah chapter 6. We want to talk about the commission of the prophet and what it means when God calls us to do a specific job. When he calls us to be where we got to be and what he needs from us to do and what he requires from us, whether it be a man or woman, whoever you are, that he requires us to be a certain way in order to accomplish what he's calling us to do. We hear all the time, many are called, it's written, many are called, but few are chosen. We hear that a lot. We've heard that a lot. You know, we're called into salvation and chosen to do a work for the Lord. And so when God calls us, we have to be able to accept what he's calling us to do. And this is what he's doing with Isaiah right here in this sixth chapter. And he's telling, and we're going to read it. We're going to get into it, but I just want to give a little backdrop of Isaiah. And, you know, Isaiah was, I like to say, he was a prophet to the king. He was a prophet for over, you know, 40-something years, I believe, to Judea and Israel and to like four different kings, I believe. He was a prophet too to that and to the nation of Israel and Judea. Judea is the southern part of Israel. And so he was very important, but God needed him to be a certain way in order for him to accomplish the things that he had to accomplish, the things that God needed him to do. God needed him to be a certain kind of way, just like in today, when God calls us to be. Not just calls us to be saved, but calls us to be able to do a work. He calls us to do a work in ministry, you know, whatever it is. You don't necessarily have to be a pastor, a bishop, apostle, a prophet, a teacher. You don't have to be a part of the fivefold ministry, but there could be a work of help, a work of administration, or whatever that work is. You have to be a certain way in order for that ministry, that work, to be effective. And where God can be glorified in whatever he has called you to do, whatever he has called you to be. you know, and whether it be a someone with a title, someone without a title, someone, you know, whatever the case is. And this is, we're going to get into this with Isaiah, because God needed Isaiah to see his glory. He needed Isaiah to witness his glory. So he gave Isaiah, he allowed him to see his glory in the vision. And in order for Isaiah to really understand who God is and what he represents, not for just what he can do, but for who he is. And he's a holy God. And that's the only way we could effectively do what God allows us, wants us to do in any ministry, whatever assignment he assigns to us. First, we got to be holy. We got to be clean. We got to be so that the enemy cannot come and tempt us with anything that is that we need to be delivered of. So everything within us, we got to be delivered of that's not of God, that's unholy. We got to be delivered of it. So let's go right into the word. Isaiah,
amen.
The sixth chapter, first verse. And it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And so this is Isaiah in the vision. All right, this is what he's seeing in the vision. That God is allowing him to see in the vision. This is right when King Uzziah was getting ready to get up out of here. And one thing that I didn't know as I was preparing for this is that I knew that Uzziah was going to die during this time, but I didn't know that he was a leper. And that they had him kind of just put away. And so that was just a little nugget for me that I didn't know that, you know, that's the reason why he died, because he was a leper. And they kind of had him put away, you know. But that king may have died, but the King of Kings was allowing Isaiah to see his throne, to look in a vision. Amen. So verse 2, above it, Let's read verse 1 again. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Verse 2. "Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." That word twain means two. It means two. He had two wings that covered his face. He had two wings that covered his feet. And he had two wings that allowed him to fly. Okay? So these seraphim, they said they were above it. They stood. And in verse 3, it tells us what they're doing. All right? In verse 3, it says, and one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And this is what they did all the time. This was part of their job, was to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And see, so this is what Isaiah is seeing in his vision. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the world is his in the full." What does that say? "And the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And that's all they did. The seraphim, the angels, two wings covered their face, two wings covered their feet, two wings that allowed them to fly. And all they did was just worship the Lord, worship God as he sat there on the throne, as Isaiah looked in the vision. And all they did was just worship him. "Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy." That's a holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You're going to see where I'm going with this in a minute. In verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house smoke with the glory of God. And this is what Isaiah is seeing. Can you imagine seeing a vision like this? And it's like in color, it's like so real to you. It's like, you know, but it's a vision. You know it's a vision, but it seems so real. And there's a reason why God wanted him to see what he was seeing at this particular time, because he knew that he was going to have to go somewhere. He knew that he was going to send Isaiah on a mission. He knew that there was going to have to be an assignment for Isaiah. And he had to see the power and the glory of God and know that the God that he served is holy in order for him to accomplish the work that he had to do in the world at that time. He had to understand that I got good backing. I got good help because I've seen the glory of the Lord. I've seen that he is holy. I see that he's all powerful. I've seen that he can do, he showed me. So now that I can walk in, I can walk with confidence. I can walk by faith and know that I got good backing. I got somebody that got my back as I go on this assignment. As I go on this assignment to do whatever he wants me to do, to speak to ever, whoever, whomever he wants me to speak to. And if you read Isaiah, the book is like 66 chapters in this book, probably the biggest book in the Bible, got more chapters in this book. He went along, his ministry was over for 40 years that he did this. So he had to be a prophet that had to walk heavy. Well, Isaiah came to town, sir, just like Samuel. When he came to town, they had to be like, whoa, Isaiah's in town. Isaiah's in town. You know, because then, you know, prophets didn't have a good story to tell all the time. They came to bring warning. They came to warn you. They came to... you know, to take, y'all better take heed because this is what's about to go down. And see, God wanted to establish a good communication line between himself and Isaiah so that Isaiah can always speak the truth to the people, so that Isaiah can always tell the people what God is saying. And so he had to be in a position to be able to hear from God. And so God had to allow him to open up the throne a little bit and allow him to see in a vision what he was seeing, so that he can have confidence in knowing when God has commissioned him to be this great prophet, to be able to walk and with confidence and be able to hear the voice of God in his ear, to be able to see what God will want him to. Amen. Uh-huh. So let's go four, then right into five. We in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4. Then we go right into 5. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke, the glory of God. Verse 5. Then said I, this is Isaiah, okay? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And you know, and you can take that and be like, whoa, wait a minute. How many times has God showed us something? He'd be like, I ain't worthy for this.
Right.
Why me? Because God can show you something and we can become fearful of it. And so rather than walk by faith in it, we become fearful. And it looks like this is Isaiah said, you know, then said I, woe is me. Why me, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live around people with unclean lips. So why me? Why me? You know, with God, because God sees something in each and every one of you, each and myself, whoever's listening, he sees something in you. And he want to use something in you. He has to show you, you know, you got to get rid of some stuff. You know, and we're going to see here in the next couple of verses, you got to get rid of some things in order for God to use you. And so it's important that we be careful when we say, God, use me.
Right.
You might not be ready to be used by God the way that He wants to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Or we may jump ahead of time and be at the will of the Father.
Right.
Now He may want to use a particular area, but it might not be time yet. We want you to take it slow a little bit, because I need to clean some things up in you. You know, I need to get some things right with you. I need you to be healed of some things first. I need you to be cleansed of some things first, so that the enemy can't come and tempt you with anything while you're on this mission, while you're on this assignment. I need your mind to be right. I need your heart to be right. You know, so I got to do some things with you first. I got to take some things from you. How many of us can say, Lord, you know, use me right now? Because that might not always be glorious. You know, that assignment, you might have to get dirty. You might have to get grimy for the Lord. And all of us don't want to do that. All of us just want the big platform and, you know, up and everybody can see you. So nobody want to do the grimy stuff, the get down and dirty stuff for the Lord that it takes to reach a certain kind of people. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves, when we say, here I am, use me, do we know what we're saying? Do we know that how God would, because before you say that, you must say, so we say, Lord, let your will be done, all right? And do we really know what that means? Lord, let your will be done. Because His will, because you know, we know that our will is not His will. And we know that His will may be, you know, stripping us down bare naked and literally and figuratively and fixing us and cleaning us up. And now we're ready to do the assignment. And some of us don't want to go through that. Some of us just want the glory.
Right.
You know,
right.
Some of us just want the glory, but we don't want to go through the process to get to the glory of God. Some of us just want to jump right on top. None of us want to go through the process that it takes to get, you know. Some of us don't want to go through the purging. Some of us don't want to go through the cleaning. You know, and this is what Isaiah said. He said, I have unclean lips, and I live with people with unclean lips. How are you going to, you know, why are you showing me this? Why am I seeing this? Basically, is what he's saying. All right? So, then in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. And verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So now he's at this point to where now, you know, the seraphim, now he saw the seraphim in the vision in the throne room of God, and they saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And they just praising him and worshiping him. And then one flew to him and put a coal on his lips from the altar of God. Say, now you've been purged. You've been cleansed from your iniquity. And now you can hear from God. Now you can see from God. Now you've seen the glory of God. You've seen that you got to be holy, because that's what we claim, that holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Wow.
That's all we do. So now you got to, now that you've seen these things, and now that the Lord has cleansed you and purged you and set you up to go on this assignment, now you can go and speak what the Lord has said, because now you saw the glory of God. Now you saw the smoke-filled room. You saw His glory. You saw the angels worshiping Him and praising Him and giving Him all the honor, giving Him all the glory. And you see the power from when His voice was spoken and it shook the room. And you saw those things happening with your own eyes. Now you can walk in authority of what you saw. Whenever you go, wherever he sends you. Because now, you know, I can walk because now I've seen the glory of God. I see that the glory of God. I know that the angels worship him and they claim holiness, holy. I know that I gotta be holy in order for me to accomplish the assignment that God is sending me on. I know that I can walk in authority because I've seen the authority and the power of his voice in his glory. I can walk
yes,
in confidence now. So that's what we got to see. You know, we got to be in a position. We got to set ourselves up in a position with God where there's a direct line of communication so that he can show us who he is and what he is and what he can do. So we don't have to be afraid of what the enemy is going to do. So we don't have to be afraid of the attacks from the enemy. We don't have to be afraid in the what's going on in the world today. We don't have to be afraid of what's going on with the election tonight. We don't have to be afraid of what's going on with Black Lives Matter because we know I got the glory of God up on me.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
And there's assignment for everybody. You might not be called to teach. You may not be called to preach. You know, you might not be called to be a part of the fivefold ministry, but there's still an assignment for you.
That's right.
Assignment is to lead souls to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be in a position that we could be used by him. As Isaiah was, as he was being commissioned as a prophet, so that he had to go and talk to these kings, and then tell the people of Judea and Israel that what's going on with them is wrong, and telling them that y'all gonna be brought into captivity. You know, he had to be a man that was not afraid to stand on his own two feet with the help of God and speak to a nation. And that's
right.
What we got to be in today. We cannot be afraid as a collective believer, as a collective body of Christ, I should say, and believers in the body of Christ, stand on our own two feet and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what's going on right now in the world, now it's just as important or more important than any other time. In the world, wherever you are in the world, whether it's in London, England, here in the United States, somewhere else in the
mm-hmm.
world, we have to, as a collective body, we have to trust God and believe God and to know that, you know, God, I have a direct line of communication with God. I know that just like Isaiah was, just like when he was being commissioned as a prophet, because there's a sign.
Right.
You know if God has called you to do a specific assignment, because it's going to be
mm-hmm.
somebody that you can reach that I can't reach, somebody that I can reach the pastor can't reach, or Elder Bluette can't
right.
reach, or somebody that he has to go to that I can't go to, and so we have to have that personal relationship with the Lord and have that confidence. Who we are. See, and this is what God was doing with Isaiah. He was giving him confidence in who he was by what he saw.
That's right.
In the vision. He was
That's
giving
right.
him confidence to know that I am real. And I will be with you. And I will guide you. But you have to see, you know, it's like, you know, when you're a kid and you got a big brother. You know, I was a big brother. So my little brother, you know, They talk real big and bad. They knew I'm in the area. You know,
right.
They'd be whooping. You know, 6, 7 years old. You know, and I'm 13, 14. They'd be whooping. You know, because they know I'm in the area. You know, they had confidence. They had confidence in me. They had confidence to know that, you know, they can talk. They can do whatever they want. Because I got big brothers right around the. Right down the street or right around the corner, and, you know, or on the other side of the school, you know. So they could walk heavy. They could talk, you know, because they knew I got their back.
Right.
Same way with God was showing Isaiah. I got your back. I got your back. That's the way he's telling us. I got your back. But you have to believe it. You have to trust it. So in order for him to really, Isaiah, to really get the fullness of who God is and what he is, he had to show him in the vision. So now that he can walk heavy, he can walk in the things that he saw with confidence in the things that he saw. So when he goes to these nations, when he goes to the nation of Israel and Judea and deals with all these kings over 40-something years of this ministry, he had to have that. He had to have it.
Right.
He had to have it. So that's what we got to be in today. So let's go to verse 7. And then we go right
to verse 8.
Yes, sir.
Hey, before you finish out the chapter, this is a good scripture right here, a very, very good scripture. But before you finish out the chapter, though, I want to go all the way back to verse. We were trying to get in there with you. I think you're on what, verse 12? So at Isaiah 6:1, I'm going to go back to Isaiah 6:1 before you finish out the chapter.
Go ahead.
So in that first verse, if we read it carefully, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And it points to us what we think is high and mighty. It points to us what we think is elevated. So God came to this young man at the right time. In the year King Isaiah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Because he has seen kings sitting on thrones. But he's seeing now the King of Kings sitting on thrones, right? High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So seeing a different glory now. You know, we see glory in people. We see glory in prophets.
Right.
We see glory in pastors. We see glory in people all over the world. But God is showing him now the true glory.
Yes, sir.
And it's something about God, it's something about God getting us ready to do a work, to do a mission for him, that he shows us a part of him that compels us to do it the rest of our life. And right now he's showing this young man, because he's a young man in this point, he's showing this young man glory is and who he truly is, because he has a work. And in the book of Isaiah, very powerful, major prophet book, that he has to own the children of Israel's heart of what God is trying to do and did do. So he had to show himself beside the king he saw. Then God also showed him how he is praised 24/7 in our time. 24/7 how he is praised by angels themselves, right? And of course they cried unto one another. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled. And he's showing him his glory. He's showing him who. I'll be done. But God, when I was called, God kept showing me what I couldn't do. And I went to pastor about that. And the thing I tried to do was wrong. It just kept coming out wrong because I was trying to do it. But God showed me what he can do. And God is showing Isaiah what he can do, or who he is, that he can have a step in, that have the strength to proceed. And you'll get to that in the next few verses that you're going to. But he showed him first his glory, who he is, so that he can have the strength to believe what he's seeing and who he is to walk in the word of God. But great passage tonight. But if you would just slow down a second and let me and Pastor get something in there, we're going to help you out.
I said, for y'all to just jump in, just stop me now. Just jump right in now. If I don't give you a chance, you jump right in there. Okay? Just jump right in.
Hey, I don't think that's you know where I don't think you'll be the way for us to jump in there.
Well, okay. Pastor, you got anything you'd like to add?
I done jumped too much. I think I'm tired. I'm about tired of trying to jump in. Hey, yeah. we got us doing hopscotch out here. We doing the jump rope game.
Yeah, man. Yes, son. Yeah, no.
No, I'm man. You know, you working so tonight, man. This is a pleasure for me. It really is. I would pose the question. I will pose this question, and I'll leave it alone. Who or what in your life has to die in order for you to see the Lord? And I'll leave that there.
Wow.
Who or what in your life has to die before you see the Lord?
And that's like giving up something, right? Is it, you know, it's like
there you go.
Something has to die in you. Or
yeah, that's good.
Something
yes, sir.
That you holding on to has to die.
Yeah.
In order for, you know,
think about it like this. The funeral, when we look at funerals, the funerals is really not for the person that died. What can they do?
Right.
There's nothing that, you know, the only time funerals benefited the person that died was really when Jesus was walking the earth and he would touch him or call him back. You know, Lazarus, he called back, from the dead, and several others, the young Tabitha, you know, the other young little girl, the young boy that had died, he touched the bier of the casket. You know, that's the only time it really benefited, the funeral benefited the person. But in general, you know, my family, you know, we just laid to rest my 24-year-old cousin this past Saturday. And the minister that preached the funeral, he done such a great job. And I couldn't help but I didn't know you was going to be teaching this tonight. I mean, we just got this today. But to think at the funeral, the preacher that preaches, the message is going to those that can hear. And I have family members that some of them, they, you know, I'm praying for now. A lot of them watch us on Facebook Live, and this is the most church they've done. A lot of them haven't been to a church building, not just because of the pandemic, but even before the pandemic, the only time some would come was a funeral. So which goes to who has to die in order for you to see the Lord. And if the preacher is the right preacher, he's going to say something, and he's going to use that as an opportunity not to try to preach the person that died. You can't preach them in heaven anyway. But if he's the right preacher, he's going to say something to try to prick the hearts of those that are there to try to convince them that now that this person has died, you need to see the Lord. You need to commit your way.
Right.
You need to come to the Lord, because death is one sure way of opening up our eyes to what holds is what we call eternity. Death is one way for sure to make us realize our mortality, that we're going to soon die. And the young man, Dante, my cousin, he was only 24. He was the last, he was the youngest cousin for my generation, out of my mother's nieces and nephews. He was the last, he was the youngest, he was 24, and he was the last one, but he was the first one to pass. So, you know, once again, who has to die or what has to die in your life in order for you to really see the Lord?
And
thank you.
That takes me back to when my mother died. And when my mother died years ago, and I was in a backslidden state, and her death pushed me into being reclaimed. Perfect example in what you were saying, Pastor. You know, because her death hurt, but it pushed me. It was like it pushed me back to the Lord because of the hurt and pain that I was feeling. And I knew I couldn't deal with that myself, that the Lord had to come and help me and deal with this kind of pain and heal me of this kind of pain. So so that I could mourn correctly and move on. Because I was mad at first. I was mad because I was in my flesh. And I was in a backslidden state. So, you know, I didn't care about no God. You know, I knew Jesus. I had a relationship. But I was mad because he took my mother.
Right.
You know? But the day after she died, I got replaced.
Wow!
So it didn't last. It didn't last long. You know, my anger with the Lord didn't last long. Is what I'm saying. It's the next day,
right?
You know. Go ahead, Elder Blewett.
Amen. So to get back to where we're at. Things can happen in our lives to change our lives, especially when a loved one passes away or something has to die. In the case of Isaiah, he had to see the magnificence of the Lord. He had to see the Lord in his book. He had to see something he has never seen before to know that there's something else and believe in something else. But he had to have a change in his life. For his life was getting ready to change by God. But God had to capture this young man in his order or in his way to get his mindset on God. So he showed him this that can change his mind or change the way he's doing things because he's going to recruit the young man. So, you know, when our little ones do pass, it should change something in us or make us sit down and consider our ways. If we're doing things right before we pass. See, I'm scared of have not done what God has asked me to do or done things right in my own life. So, yeah, death does change things. But then also on the other side, in Isaiah 6, he's seeing the glory of God that will change him. And when you got to verse 5, then said, woe is me. He understood he is nothing.
Right.
He understood that he's a sinner. He understood that he's around sinful people, the people of Israel. He understood his place. God has a way of putting us in our place, whether
Come
it's
on,
by
man.
Death or by vision. So it's God will capture us in a way that captures us that nobody else can do that to.
That's nicely put.
You know.
Amen. All right. Well, we're gonna go over verse 7 again and go right into 8. And he laid upon my mouth and said, Lo, and have touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And that was a hot coal that the angel had came, the seraphim had came to put on Isaiah's lips. In verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Lord. Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now Isaiah, he saw what he saw. The angel came and put the coals on his lips and told him he was purged, clean of all sin and iniquity, right? So now he's feeling a little confident.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord asked the question, Who shall I send? Who will go for us? He didn't say for me, for I. He said, Who will go for us? Y'all know who that us is?
Yeah.
Then said I, Here am I.
Yes, sir.
Send me.
Yes, sir.
How many of us are in a position that we can say, Lord, here am I. Send me.
Wow.
Not because we just want to be sent on an assignment. We know that we are spiritually in a place with the Lord. That we can say confidently, I can go. I can do what you need me to do. Because I know I'm holy and holy, holy, holy that you require for me to be. Because I know that my heart is fixed right. I know that I deliverance, I've been set free of all sin and iniquity. Here am I. Send me. I'm ready to go now, Lord. I can do what you need me to do. I can say what you need me to say. Stand flat-footed and firm and know that I got your back, Lord God, that you got my back.
Yeah.
Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm ready to go. Not just because I want to go and not really, you know, spiritually ready to go, but I want to go because now I know that I'm spiritually sick. I'm filled with your Holy Ghost. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. And I know that I'm clean now. I'm clean now. And the enemy can't come and tempt me with all kind of diverse temptations. He can't come and tempt me with every little bitty thing on this assignment, on this mission that you are commissioning me to do. So who's ever listening out there, can we look at the man in the mirror and confidently say, here am I, Lord, send me. Can the Lord be confident in asking you or me, anybody and everybody that's listening tonight? And he asked him, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send who will go for us? How many of us could say, here am I, Lord?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Can we honestly say, here am I, Lord? I'm ready. I've seen your glory in the vision. I know who you are. I know what you represent. I know that you are holy God. I know that you can cleanse me. I know that you can fix whatever is wrong in me. Because that's where we got to be in order for us to complete the assignment that whatever God has us to go on.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people don't want to go through the cleansing process because it ain't always gonna feel good.
That's right.
It's gonna hurt a little. It's gonna hurt a little bit. Like Pastor said, what has to die in order for us? A lot of people don't want to let things die. They want to hold on to stuff. And God can't do this if we still hold on to stuff. If we don't let things go, you know, and trust him to fix it and know that it's done. He can't send us here and there to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ if he knows that we're still holding on stuff. We won't let it go.
Yes, sir.
He can't use us if we're not fixed, if we're not ready to be used. And it has to be on his time. And not on our time. Like he was saying that when King Isaiah died, he seen one king die, but he seen the King of Kings. He was used to seeing the pageantry of what a king is and what a king does. But now he was seeing the real pageantry of who the King of all kings is.
Yes, sir.
You know, so that's where we got to be, you know, and that's where, you know, I got to be, and I believe everybody else has to be, you know, according to this word and what Isaiah was saying, you know, and we can't be fearful what God shows us. We can't be fearful because God will show us things in the dream, in the vision, and it'd be for our good to get us in the place that now we can be used by him, but we can't be fearful of that fact. Of what he's showing us. We just got to believe it and trust it and have faith in it and move on in what he's wanting us to do and what he's calling us to do. Amen. So we're going to verse 9.
That's good.
Anybody
yes,
got that play of the Blue Egg? You good? You like to add anything of the Blue Egg?
Since you asked me, I would.
Okay.
Before we get to verse 3000. But no, I do want to say that for those who are called, and I'm a witness in myself of this, that God knows how to get our attention.
Yes,
he knows when he has a work for you. He knows what would interest you. It may not be to see his glory. It may not be even as the death of somebody, but it can be in some type of way that he gets your attention. And at that
right.
moment that he gets your attention, you never forget that, and you go on with what he would have you to do. So
mm-hmm.
so for preachers that have gone aside, they may have gotten interested in something other than the truth of the gospel, something other than the truth of the word. And that's why we have to be very careful what we entertain, very careful
right.
of the gainsayers or the soothsayers or the, you know, people that are not talking about the word of God, but people that are spreading rubbish and corruption.
Yeah.
We have to be careful. But going back to God drawing our attention, he knows who you are. He knows you by name. He knows because
mm-hmm.
he created us, see? So he knows what interests me. He knows what interests others. And whatever that is, he'll call you by that. And he knows that what he calls you by, you'll never forget.
You'll never forget.
And you'll
That's
walk
good.
On that, and you'll take that to the rest of your life. It only takes one calling.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows
mm-hmm.
how to call you. We just
yeah.
have to be truthful to the word of God when we teach it and when we preach it. Only the truth
right.
of the word, gospel, only, nothing
mm-hmm.
else. So great teaching. This is how he caught Isaiah's attention, because he knew
yes,
this
sir.
Would affect the young man, seeing the glory of God, how he's praised
mm-hmm.
instead of how Isaiah's praised. See?
Right.
So God knows. Get our attention and keep us on the path. It's just up to us to stay on that path. A great teacher.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, I got a note here. It says that, you know, if you knew how God was going to purge you, you may not want to be a willing vessel. If you knew what you was going to have to go through to be the kind of vessel that God wanted to use, will we still be a willing vessel? You know,
okay.
we don't know what it's going to totally take, you know, to get to be that kind of soldier for God. And Elder Blue Eyes, you can testify to this. Is when you're in the military and you're trying to become a soldier and you're in basic training, and it's a whole lot of stuff that you got to do. A lot of sometimes sleepless nights, cold, rainy nights. And outside, and you got to learn like 30 different common tasks that you got to pass all of them but two in order to make it through basic training. And those are things that you got to go through and suffer through a lot of times and it's a learning process as well. And it's things that you're being taught and learned, and you learn a lot about yourself when you go into this process. But your objective is to become a soldier. And so are we willing to go through the things with God, not by ourselves, but with God in order to become a vessel that he can be glorified in, to become a vessel
that he can use
effectively, that's going to speak the gospel truth.
Right.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that
That's
we could just always be, and I know it can be hard for us sometimes because our flesh don't want to do none of this stuff.
Right.
So there's going to always be a warfare between the spirit and the flesh, a constant
right.
warfare. Not a sometime warfare, not every Wednesday warfare. It's a constant warfare between our spirit and the flesh. It's not the one to do it. You know, but we have to get in the position where we can receive from God. And some things are going to have to die off. Some things are going to have to be removed. If you truly want to be used by the Lord, if you really want to be used to a level that God can just say, I got Richard right where I want him. I got him, you know, right where I need him to be. So now I can purge this from him, and I can take that from him, and this has to die off of him in order for me to take him to the next level in me, for him to go to the next place in me. We have to want to go through that process. And sometimes it's going to hurt because our flesh ain't going to want to give that stuff up.
Right.
You know, and it don't necessarily have to be nothing. It could just be a weight. It don't necessarily have to be a sin, but it could be a weight that got us weighed down. You know, where we can't respond quick enough because of the weight that's on us. You know, so it don't always have to be a sinful thing. It could just be, you know, weights that had us bogged down. They got us heavy, you know, where we can't bounce up and move as fast as God wants us to move. And it doesn't matter, you know, especially in the way the world is going today, God needs us to remove and react quickly.
Yeah.
To respond quickly, to heal us and get us ready for our next assignment or what he commissions us to do next. And whatever that is, whatever you feel like God has called you or commissioned you to do, whatever that is, to be effective in that call or that what he's commissioned you to do, you have to be holy, 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 like the seraphims were saying as they worshiped him, as Isaiah looked into the throne. As he saw this, he knew that now I got to be holy.
Yeah.
Because the God that is allowing me to see this, is they're saying he's holy, 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 he's the Lord of hosts. This is all they were saying. So now I know I got to be this way in order for me to be effective.
That's good.
And that's what God was, that's what he wanted Isaiah to see. In order for you to be effective, you need to see this and trust it and believe in it. You know, I'm gonna stop at verse 8. I'm gonna leave it right there. I think
that's
good. We're gonna stop right there, Pastor. And I just want everybody that's listening. You know, if you're not saved, let's get saved. You know,
right?
And you know, if you're contemplating, you know, should I get saved? Should I do this? I got to give up that. Let God work on you. Let him deal with you. But just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus rose. He died and he rose on that third day.
Yes, sir.
And that he is the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. You know, confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need you to come into my life and change my life. I need you to fix my heart like never before. I need you to move on me like never before. I need you to save me. I need you to make this heart of stone into a heart of flesh so that I can receive you into my life. And I ask that you come into my life, fix me, mold me, shape me, deliver me, heal me. Restore me, revive me, fix everything that is in me that is not of you, Lord. Arrest the thoughts of my mind that is not of you. Touch my mind so that I can think of you. Deliver my mind so that I can think of you. I'm a willing, yielding, humble to be used by you, Lord God. And I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to do what it takes. Fix me so that I can be at work that you would call me to do.
Yes.
That's it. That's it, Pastor. I'm done. Amen. I'm done, Pastor.
Amen.
You take it from here.
Great, great. Man, well, I'll tell you what, that was, well, I can't say it was short. It just seemed short, but that was eight great scriptures, man. And I appreciate you. They once again got me examining myself again. Sometimes, you know, even in our natural bodies, it's good to at least yearly go to your doctor to get an examination, to get a physical. Spiritually, we all have to take physical as well. You know, a lot of times we can feel illness, or sometimes even when we don't feel sick, we may not have any symptoms, and we won't even know that there's an issue unless we go to the doctor and they run tests. They take blood tests and they ask us questions. And we won't even know that we have an issue, that something is going on, until the results come back. And it's just like that. That's the natural, but even spiritually, you know, until you get into a Bible study or get into the Word of God, get with a Bible church, you won't even know that you got some spiritual ailments. You got hatred, you got envy, you got jealousy, you got malice in your heart until you get a spiritual physical. And that's what Bible study and Sunday morning and Thursday nights and Monday nights with Chaos, the blog, DNK Bible Break. This is so that we can provide spiritual physicals. So for what the doctor can't do in the natural, we have a spiritual doctor that can touch and bring to knowledge, to bring to light the spiritual needs, the spiritual sicknesses, the spiritual diseases that are infiltrating, that has possessed our spiritual body and now is manifesting in the natural. So thank you, Elder Taylor. The saints are responding, and so many are appreciative of that word on tonight. Isaiah, we know some call him the eagle eye prophet. I think that's who what they named Isaiah, the eagle eye, because he was dead on point. And he, I think between the space, and y'all help me, but I think between the space of Isaiah's prophecies and Jesus Christ, I think it was over 700 years, I think. Is that right? Wasn't it over 700? Over 700 years. Yeah. So, and you think about when Jesus really came on the scene, at the age of 30, when he went in the temple, he quoted Isaiah. And he told him, you know, today this scripture is fulfilled. You know, you know, all this that Isaiah was prophesying and writing about, and like what you talked about on tonight, you know, who shall go for us? That was symbolic and prophetic of what, you know, what Jesus had to do. And we know in Isaiah, one of my favorite scriptures, and I won't get happy too happy because you've already did a great job teaching, but I think that's over there in Isaiah 53 when Isaiah declares, all right, now don't y'all get too happy now. We know Isaiah wasn't wounded, but he did declare he was wounded for our transgressions. All right. I might wait to Thursday night. Amen. I may have to wait. I might just preach this again Thursday night. But Isaiah being the eagle eye prophet over 700 or so years prior, God gave him the insight concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
yeah. Amen. So even the scriptures
he was like
brought
the New
out
Testament
tonight.
Prophet.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So we're just grateful. Say it again.
I said he was like a New Testament prophet. You know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that. You know, that's right. That's good. That's right. So we thank y'all so much, amen, for once again being a part. Go ahead, Elder.
Before you close it out, right quick, it's not that God only calls prophets, that he only calls. But he calls all of us, because
yes,
all
sir,
of us he has given a gift to. All of us he has given something, a talent, a gift, persuade mankind to come back to him. All of us have that in us. No matter what it is, small or big, we have that in us. So he's not only calling Isaiah, but he's calling all of us to speak to one another, to encourage one another, to love one another. And see, we ought to do that on a daily basis, not just on church day. You know, we can't just go to church as is a job on Sunday and be off for six days. We got to be on for 7 days straight. And Isaiah was so adamant about it because of what he saw.
In verse 2.
That's what God showed
in verse 3. What he saw. He stayed on it. And that's how you got the verses in Isaiah 53.
Right.
That's how you got it. He stayed on it from from chapter 6 all the way through 53. He stayed on it. There are people that were hard-headed, people that would not listen to it, but he still had to preach it. Because the word, I'm going to tell you now, the word will convict you. If you heard it and you didn't obey to it, that's your conviction.
Yep.
Regardless of how people look at you, how they turn their nose up at you, but just speak the word of God, speak the gospel, and then keep it moving. That's how the word spreads. And when everybody have heard that word, then we should see the Son of Man coming at that time. Great lesson, great passage, very powerful passage, and it just wasn't for prophets, but it's for all of us.
That's right. That's right. All right. All right. You've heard it. I tell you what, you've heard it from, I put these brothers and sisters of ours up against anybody. I guess any day, amen. Anybody, any day, we'll put it up. So great teaching, great lesson. And as so many of the saints are responding and texting me now in agreement with teaching on tonight and being refreshed and be reassured that it's for all of us. Okay? It's for all of us. Don't you think for 1 minute that you are left without, that you are left out. Is for you, for the gospel, the promises of God is unto us and our children and our children's children. So even if you're just a doorkeeper, then you keep that door as if there's no other doors to be kept. Do what you do and do it to the glory of God. Don't do it to get the pleases from man. But do it knowing that God is going to be glorified. Even if you're just, if you feel your gift is just to be a sweeper, to sweep the church or whatever it is, then you do it because you are just, none of us, I was just up at our building tonight doing some cleaning and doing some rearranging. There's a lot we need to get done before next Sunday. But just being reminded, no, we don't want to walk in a building that needs to be swept, that needs to be cleaned. And, you know, so whatever God has given you to do, do it to the glory of God. And we're just so grateful and honored that God has, like Isaiah, he looked upon us and he showed us something that convinced us that we needed him. And like I always say, and I believe I got a few witnesses out there that will stay with me, I believe I'll run on to see what the end is going to be. All right. God bless you. Sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Elder Oliver, Lady Oliver. We thank God for you, all the engineers and supporters of Chaos Blog Talk Radio. We thank you so much. Those that are over in London, England, God bless you. All the Praise Tabernacle, we're so excited about the direction in which God is leading us, and we just want you to continue to pray for us and continue to support not only with your time and attendance, but also with your finances. We ask that you continue to support as God has blessed you. Let's continue to be cheerful givers. Meet us Thursday night here on Chaos Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live. We want to thank Elder Oliver for that new commercial, that new intro commercial that he did. I heard it, I think, last night on D&K Bible Break. So there's such a great intro. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to give the benediction, and till we meet again, may God's peace and blessings be with each and every one of you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We just pray now that you would touch your people's hearts and minds. We know we have so many on the prayer list, and we just want to take a moment to call the names out that we know that are on our prayer list. We're praying for the Stokes family, specifically Elder Stokes, that you would continue to touch his body in the name of Jesus. The Bluett family in specific, Sister Asha Bluett, God, that you would continue to strengthen her, touch the family, the Walker family and the death, Brother Walker, continue to strengthen them. The Ingram family and the death of Brother Ingram, continue to strengthen them in the name of Jesus. The Stanton family, God, continue to strengthen them in the death of their brother-in-law. And we give you glory. We ask that you continue to touch the Tate family in specific, Brother Adore. Oh, God, that you continue to work out a miracle, continue to touch, heal, and deliver. The Martin family, more specific, Mother Martin and Brother Wendell Martin, that you would touch their bodies as only you can. Sister Siobhan in Chicago, Illinois, that in the death of her daughter, God, we ask that you will strengthen and touch that family in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, stretch out your hand, touch, heal, and deliver. And, God, we're praying even tonight for Mother White, God, that you would touch her body even now as we speak. Let your own hand touch. Let your healing virtue go out amongst these names. And there are so many others that are in the need of something specific on tonight. And, God, we may not know, but we know that you know, and you're yet able to heal and deliver. You're yet able to perform miracles, and we just thank you. As we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you. Good night.
I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary at Praise Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service, led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.